us look together in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Mediator, our High Priest. And we pray for ourselves that as we worship you in spirit and in truth, the reality of Christ's life, the presence of Christ's life, be right here in our midst, in each one of our hearts. That we be able to put away the thoughts of the week and what we're going to do in the coming week. And for a moment, think together with Christ our Lord. We are grateful, Father, that we have together with those people who are able to worship with us here in the auditorium, thousands of people through KKMC on the air. And we pray for each family, whatever need they have, that they be able to listen to God's word, to the praises of God, to the reading of God's word, and they too may rejoice with us, and they too may have hope in God, who is our strength, who is our rock. Later on, Father, another families will listen to this service and a tape, and we pray that as they listen, you may comfort their heart, you may give them hope, and in the sweetness of Jesus, they be taken by his hand, whatever circumstances they are in. We especially, Father, pray for family in the day ministry, the Rotolo family, that you may bless them and give them a strength in this moment of crisis in their life. Father, for the family here in the auditorium, we pray for our brother Forrest. He is in the last moments of his life, and he is in an uneasy situation. And we pray for those doctors and nurses and people who assist him, that he may go into eternity with the peace of God and tranquility. Lord, bless him with peace. Let him know over and over that there is a Savior waiting for him. Bless Loretta and bless the family. Lord, they are all, everybody is ready for that moment of departure. And I never saw a home so peaceful. So, Father, how grateful we are for the peace of God who dwells in our heart. Father, the other people who are sick or getting over sickness, and we pray that you bless them and touch them in their heart. There are others who are preparing themselves to change life status from single to married, and we pray that in the seriousness of this moment and in the blessedness of the moment, they may see Jesus and all the details of their wedding and life. Others, Father, they are with the crisis, an emotional crisis, maybe stress from their work, and we pray, Lord, that you, like the brother Parrott, that we pray that your blessings be upon their life, that they may go out of this state into a peaceful and wonderful walk with you. We do have missionaries, Lord, and across the world, they are there. Our brother Boanerges Mendoza in Nicaragua, our brother Fred Carroll Lewis in Ukraine, Lord, and how wonderful it is to know that there are people teaching other people, so they in turn will teach others the word of God. Carol and Ruth Knott in Huasca, Spain. Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, Lord, in Spain. Ruben and Irene Zachert here in California, in Lodi, in our South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, right here in our town. Lord, we pray especially for this coming Saturday. Our people, our mission is going to have a breakfast, a fundraising, perhaps to collect the funds for a good month ahead. And so, Father, we pray that this will be a day of blessing and that God's people will be generous and that our people be encouraged because of the offering given on that day. Thank you, Lord, that there is a place of refuge for those who have a need. And now, Father, as we continue in the service, we are aware that we live in one of the greatest country in the world, and perhaps the greatest country ever existed in the world, and all because a handful of people love you and came to this land with a great respect for you. Lord, we're still progressing. We're still in prosperity. But unfortunately, the handful of people are gone. and now America have moved away from God. Oh Father, have mercy on us and give to every pastor in the pulpit today the strength to preach with sweetness and kindness, but with firmness, that unless we have Christ, we work in vain. So, Father, now, as we remain in our service for another hour, we pray for the presence and the blessings of the sweet Savior, Jesus our Lord. Amen. The people to know that the one who played today for the offertory was Mark Steve Guerrero. He is one of our young boys here in our church, a member of the Boy Scout. What's the troop number? 722. The troop number 722 here from Morning Hill. Yesterday they built a bridge, and I had the privilege to speak with them, and we have A remarkable, remarkable time in the morning. I guess they stay until noon. You people, when you leave, you just move to the other side of the building and you will see the bridge that they jump to the other side and so on. It's just fantastic. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Family Guerrero, because those things don't come like this, you know, come from preparation and dedication of mother and father. And I encourage all the young people to prepare. And let me know, and then I schedule you, so that people and you know, 6 million people are listening. So I want them to know. I want them to know that we have people who love the Lord and they are talented. And now our choir.
Thank you. Thank you, choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you will find today's reading in that Bible on page 82. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Leviticus, chapter 3. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering, and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys. It shall be taken away, and Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet savior unto the Lord. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering, and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat thereof, and the whole rump, it shall be taken off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall be taken away, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And if his offering be a goat, then shall he offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of it, and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savior. All the fat is the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that ye eat neither fat nor blood. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name, and we praise and worship thee, Almighty God, because you have shed thy mercy upon our soul by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we read today, O Lord God, in thy holy word, the peace offering, and we have peace with you, Almighty God, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it is he that has made peace for us unto you. Father, we ask in thy mercy and grace today, as your servant, our pastor Gabriel Otero, proclaims the gospel unto the people, that you will share thy peace, the love of Christ Jesus, his sacrifice for us, that others may know thy peace and comfort in their hearts that we know. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated, please. I just want to mention before our preaching, if you can raise just a tiny little bit my volume, a little bit here, that will help the tape later on. Right here on my right hand, there is a flower and symbolize the life of Faith Anna Trout. She was born with 9 pounds, 10 ounces, big, heavy baby. 20 and a half inches long. Last Monday, March 15. And our congregation, this is the number 8 in the family. And so our congregation wants to congratulate them. And for those young couples who are on 4 or 5, they have hope and a good example from the Trout family. All right? And we have another family coming up with the number 7, I guess. So that's fantastic. I just want to mention another thing before the sermon. Yesterday was a day of joy and also a day of being painful. My good friend, Adrian Franken, age 95, went to be with the Lord. He was the man that I wrote a letter in 1964 about myself and about my ambitions. And I never met the man before, but I met his nephew in Argentina. And this man from Holland, who was living in the city of Alameda, California, sent all the requirements for the visa for me and my wife and my then 2-year-old daughter to come to this country. And a year later, on January 29, 1965, I arrived in the United States with all the papers, my Social Security, everything ready to work, thanks to the generosity and the love of this man who trusts the unknown. I always remember his words when I asked him, why did you call me? He said, I went to my pastor, and I met his pastor over there, 87 years old, Mr. Petrol. And he said, I told my pastor about your letter. And he told me, just send a letter and said, I'm sorry, I cannot do it. And he looked in his eyes to his pastor and said, sorry, pastor, I can't do it. And if God has sent this letter, I cannot say no to God. And so he sent a check of $25,000 to the American embassy to guarantee 5 years of food for me in case that I went lazy and I don't know where. See, you know, foreigners cannot go to welfare. And so that was a remarkable day. He died just unexpectedly in bed. As I asked the doctor, he said the clock stop was 95. He said everything right, and he was ready to go up, and the clock stopped. Thank God for life like that, a life of integrity, a life of 75 years, member of the same church, the Christian Reformed Church, a remarkable man of God. And it was a very emotional day for us as they asked me to speak on his memorial things. And so it was very emotional. Miriam flew all the way from Poland to be there because we want to be grateful to God for a man who did such a thing to us. Let's look to the Bible this morning then to Leviticus chapter 3. And as you look to Leviticus chapter 3, I want to show you two passages of the scripture, one in Isaiah in chapter 6. And this passage in Isaiah chapter 6 identify God. I don't want to elaborate this because I spoke on this passage not too long ago. Isaiah chapter 6, in verse 1, we read, in the year of the king Uzziah die, I saw also the Lord, this is Isaiah speaking, sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, and his trains filled the temple. And one cry unto another, verse 2, about it stood the seraphims, each one has 6 wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried one to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Now, there's no doubt that God is holy. Is that right? 3 times the Bible said God is holy. And if it's something sacred about God, it's this statement made here in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, where the angels are saying to Isaiah, listen, Isaiah, there is no gambling with God. There is not going around with God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Now, remember that. Let's move to Romans chapter 3. I just want to read a few verses in Romans chapter 3 about man, about you and me. In Romans chapter 3, the Bible describes the condition of mankind. Romans 3, look at verse 10. As it is written, There is none righteous, no one. Now remember the passage that I read in Isaiah. The Bible says God is holy, 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 righteous, righteous, righteous. And then when it talks about mankind, the Bible said there is no righteous, no one. And verse 11 said in Romans 3, there is no one who understands it. There is no one who seek after God. Then verse 12 said that how terrible we are and so on. And if you move your eyes to verse 23, the Bible will give you the reason. For all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. Now, that gave me a picture or an introduction for teaching you this morning, Leviticus chapter 3. In one hand, you have a God who is holy, holy, holy. In another hand, you have mankind who is sinful, sinful, sinful. And now you need to put the two together. And you need to put the two in harmony and in peace. And so we come then to the book of Leviticus, who it is the legislation for Israel, was given just in 1 month on Mount Sinai to Israel when they were waiting to march. And after this day that they received the book of Leviticus, became a nation. Until then there were people and families. But after they had the legislation, Moses became the legislator and their leader, and they became a nation. And the book of Leviticus was their constitution. And the book of Leviticus deals with one thing, the way to become acceptable to God. We need, by all means, to be in peace with God. But God has wrote his constitution, and it's on his terms that we need to do so. And so in chapter 1, we saw the picture of the burnt offering, the Lamb of God. Our sins need to be paid off. Then in chapter 2, we saw the grain offering, where the bread of life is presented in a remarkable way. Now, this morning on Leviticus chapter 3, we read right off in verse 1, and if his oblation or his offering be a sacrifice of peace. A sacrifice of peace. Think for a moment. This is the age of restlessness, the age of uneasiness, the age of disturbance. The soul of man is unsettled. It is not content what they have. This is the age in which we live. Most people want to be on the move, all because of a restless spirit. Most people are not satisfied with what they are doing today and want to change job, profession, housing, things. They want to move. They want to go on. Most people are hoping for and looking ahead to do something else of what they're doing today. Most people are often uneasy and disturbed over the lawlessness and evil of society. Most people are tragically disturbed over sickness, disease, accidents, broken relationships, and so on. Most people are unhappy today. In the midst of all of this, how can we secure peace and fellowship with God and happiness with God? How can restless people be at peace with God? How can we look up a little and see the greatness of God? You need to know two things very important in the Bible. There are two kinds of peace. They are the peace with God and the peace of God. If you move to Romans chapter 5, a brother just pray about this, peace with God. In Romans chapter 5, the Bible teaches that there is peace with God. It's possible to have peace with God. Look at what the Bible says. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. no doubt whatsoever that our peace with God doesn't come through an institution like called the church. Now, the church should preach the peace of God, but the church itself does not warrantee or guarantee the peace of God. It's Christ Jesus. You see it right there in the text. The peace of God comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless you go with Christ through the cross, there is no peace with God. Your offerings cannot bring peace with God. Your dedication cannot bring peace with God. That peace with God, which is a symbol of the burnt offering, chapter 1 of Leviticus, comes exclusively only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's so important that we must learn that lesson first. You have to learn that lesson first. If you want to have peace with God, you have to come to the realization that God is holy and I am unrighteous, as I said at the very beginning, as I showed you in the scripture, and that there is a breach between the two, the unholy man and the holy God. There is a breach, and that breach is not the church, is not your good works, is nothing we have done, is what Christ has done on Calvary cross. And the only way to achieve it is your belief that Jesus Christ took your place on Calvary cross. Now, that is offering number one and offering number two in the book of Leviticus. But now is the peace of God. Peace with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you go through Leviticus, this is the peace of God. We have made peace with God. The peace of God begins to fill our spirit. God's peace settled within us. Once you have made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, then the peace of God fills your life and gives you that tranquility, that serenity, that life that in spite of crisis, you know there is a God who holds you in his hand. Oh, we go through griefs. I went through griefs yesterday. And when the body was there and the casket was put on the grave site, I have preached over and over. I have walked with my Bible with certainty, with great verses of the scripture to put somebody down. But I was taken by the moment of separation. We all were there, but when we leave, one will not be with us and will be left behind. And so those things are, the emotional things are there, and we cannot move it away. But there is a peace, there is a tranquility, there is a comfort that comes into your heart when you know God. Now, the peace offering here in Leviticus chapter 3 is the way how now you can grow in that peace with God. We have peace with God, that's salvation, we call it. Salvation from the day of judgment. Salvation from being in hell forever. But now that we have peace with God, there is a growth. When you have peace with God, you're a baby, just born. Like Faith, Anna, Trout, a baby. But the Trout family do not want that baby to remain a baby, even though mothers sometimes like the baby for a long time. But they don't want the baby to remain a baby. I have the very uncomfortable experience of seeing somebody 35 years old that looks like a body and a baby. And it's very uncomfortable to see that. It's very sad to see that. And so God doesn't want you to stay as a baby spiritually. And so he writes the peace offering. And then the peace offering is not just one offering. It's a mix of offerings. And in that mixture of offerings, God brings different animals. And I was chatting with our brother Fred prior to come here in our prayer room. And he noticed that even a female is offered, saying that nobody is excluded. The whole people of God need to grow with him in peace. And how do you grow in peace? Well, how the baby grow? Well, they take milk, all right, and formulas in America and all kinds of things. And then when it's 1 year old, they give more this and the other. And mothers know how to feed that baby. And that baby grow. How do we grow spiritually? Well, let's take a close look to the offering. If you are seeking a deeper life with God, here is what you can do. Number one, by looking to the symbolized sacrifice of the bull or the cow in verse 1, we learn service. Look in verse 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it is a bull or a cow, then, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. So the bull, the cow, was always used in Israel as an animal of service. Therefore, this animal and this offering will be a picture of a sacrifice of service to the Lord. A peace offering with God. I'm at peace with God. But now, because I'm in peace with God, I'm going to do a service for him. And I'm going to show you some scriptures how you can really serve the Lord. Look at it in Romans chapter 12. In verse 1 and 2. Here is a great example how you can serve the Lord. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, because of what I said before, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye may present your bodies as a living sacrifice. See, that's service to the Lord. You young people, by keeping yourself pure before the Lord, and don't get entangled in drugs and premarital sex and all these, that's a service to the Lord. That's a sacrifice of yourself to the Lord. I know temptations are horrible. There were temptations when I was young, and there are temptations today. Looks like they are larger and larger in quantity. But see, the Bible says, now you are saved. You present your body to the Lord. See, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Nothing exceptional is your reasonable service. Look in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Now, that is service to the Lord. You young ladies, when you grow up, you're going to be tempted to dress in a way attractive to men. And you are provoking, if you come tonight, you will see if you dress like this, you are provoking men to sin. And so there has to be a genuine modesty within the dressing of a lady. And when you do that, you do a favor to yourself to begin with, because you will be attracting the wrong people. And number two, you are doing a service to the Lord. That's very important. See, it's all here. He said, don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you watch the whole day television, you are not renewing your mind. I guarantee it. Like the man who sells suits. If you watch the whole day television, you don't renew your mind. But if you read the book of God and books about God, you renew your mind. See, so the first offering, a peace offering, by looking to the symbol of these animals who were used for service, that means that we need to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Look at it in John Gospel, in chapter 20 of John Gospel, in verse 21. John Gospel, chapter 20, in verse 21. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. There is nothing more distress that a Christian who doesn't have a goal in his life. Why he is a Christian. So Jesus said, I have peace and I have given you peace. So I send you. I send you to be people of peace. Look at back in Romans 15 in verse 1. I know in our church we move the Bible back and forth, but that's the only source of information we have. Romans chapter 15 and in verse 1. We then, they are strong out to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Oh, wow, that we need that in America. We please ourselves, and you please yourself. You are not doing a service. I just received three facts from a company in San Jose. They want workers, and they are calling churches for workers, and they are here. If you need a job, right here, as you move from my left side here on the wall over there in the bulletin board, there are about two or three fax. They start at $14 an hour. Those people are crazy. They pay so much. But they need people who are settled, people who are committed, and they need people who really are dedicated, they said. And we hope that Christians are like that, he said to me on the phone. I send you a fax, and I need people from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock. So they said, we made this work available for ladies who send children to a school and so on. And you need to be very good with people. You need to be very good as a team work. Boy, you imagine you go to work and you want to do what you want to. And in spite of your fellow workers, you destroy the work. We need to learn as a teamwork. And so the first offering is a service. And service means the dedication of my personal life, my appearance, my way. The dedication as a teamwork. You're in church and you're a teamwork. We are a teamwork. And some of you have the gift to praise the Lord. And some of you have the gift to read the Bible. And some of you have the gift to teach. Some of you have the gift to knock doors, door by door. Some of you have the gift to work with the young people, as I saw on Saturday. And use those gifts, because in the using of those gifts, you are bringing the peace offering to the Lord, the offering of the service of your life. Isn't that beautiful? Now let's go to the second one in verse 7. You go back to Leviticus chapter 1, and in verse 7, by looking to the symbolized sacrifice of the lamb, we learn submission. Look at verse 7. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord. A lamb is a picture of submission in the Bible. The sacrifice of the lamb would focus the person's attention on personal sacrifice. There is a willingness, there is a growing submission of ourselves to God. Boy, do we need that. We are in society, and because we are in a society who has propaganda everywhere, that propaganda comes into our head. And we need to submit ourselves to God. Look at the Gospel of Luke in chapter 9. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 9 and in verse 23. The Gospel of Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Look at what the Bible says with respect to submission. And he said to them all, Jesus is speaking, Gospel of Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, what do you have to do, Jesus? Have to go to college? Have to go to seminary? No, look at what Jesus said. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Wow, that's hard. That's hard. Well, that's what you teach your children, I hope so. They have to obey the disciplinary time schedule of your own home. So that they don't do what they want to, they have to do what you said. And just taking that little task, you find problems. I don't care how big the person is or how small it is. Even a one-year-old and two-year-old want to do what they want to all the time. But you, as very wise parents, you set the schedules for them, and you set them, no, now you have to do this, now you have to do this, and now you have to do this, and very soon your children grow under obedience. We live in a society that doesn't know obedience. I know, because I have workers under me. And when I tell them what to do, some of them question what I said. Cost them their job. See, you don't question your boss. If your boss said, go around the building seven times, you go around the building seven times. We lost that. And Jesus, and we bring that to the church. But if you are a peace of God and you have the peace of God, I look at the brother Romulo working in the military, brother Ortiz working in the military. They were not able to do what they want to. They had to obey the laws. And I'm glad that we have the battalion 722 here, Boy Scout. They are not going to do what they want to. They're going to do what those leaders said. And in turn, your children will be disciplined and will grow to love our country and to love our God, as the Boy Scout said. It's just remarkable. Remarkable. And I thank the Lord for these men who are dedicated to do that. But see, there is a spirit of submission that we need to learn. And when we submit to God, you know, it's fantastic. That's a peace offering. Imagine a wife, they say, I don't want to listen to my husband. I want to do what I said. What do you think happened in that home? They will need right away a counselor. But a counselor that knows the way. A counselor that knows the book. Imagine a husband who said, well, I don't care about my house. I want to spend the money the way I want it. My wife will never know what I do. I just do what I want it. Wow, that caused chaos. See, it is a book written about it. It is a book with all kinds of instructions and how to. See, that's submission to God. One lady said to me one time, long time ago, she lifted up a chair. We were in counseling. In counseling, you have it's a theater. Because it's the heart of man talking. And this lady lifted up the chair and said, I crack his head before I obey him. I said, I don't care if his head is cracked, but my chair is expensive. Please put it down. I said, the problem here is not who spent the money or not. You know what the problem is? They don't want to submit to God's word. Don't want to submit to God's word. So the second way that you can have peace with God is submission. The third way is in verse 11. If you go to Leviticus chapter 3, then in verse 11, the Bible said, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire. It's that grain offering, the food offering, the grain offering. The offering of food to God symbolizes the time of peace, of comfort, calm, agreement, satisfaction, companionship, closeness. As you have, you know, when you have a gathering of people, even in your home, it's a time of joy, a time of companionship, a time of fellowship together, you know, and this is companionship with God. I love 1 John. Have you ever read 1 John over and over? Look at in 1 John chapter 1, almost at the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 1. Look what John, he's about 105 years old, and he is in the island of Patmos. And look at here in verse 3, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. See, we have fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. Companionship with God. Friendship with God. I love the scripture where Jesus says, I don't call you anymore my disciples. I call you my friends. You know why, guys? Because I told you everything. What a remarkable fellowship. No one of us is, you single people, you are not alone. We have some single people in our church. They are not alone. They are not alone. They are believers. They have fellowship with God. It's nothing wrong for them to be single. It's nothing abnormal to be single. That means that at this stage in life, they have, that is the will of God for their life. But they are not alone. They are in fellowship with God if they are Christian. And so, it is remarkable. See, that's the peace of God. That's the peace of God. Some of the girls, when they get to be 35, 36, 37, and they are single, they got worried. Say, Pastor, where are we going to get a companionship? Don't worry about your companionship. That's the last thing you got to worry. You concentrate in your fellowship with God, and if it's the will of God, He's going to send that blue-eyed boy of dark eyes, I don't know, whatever you like, it's going to come in your way. It's going to come in your way. And it's going to be God's way. companionship. Finally, verse 12 in Leviticus chapter 3, it says, and his offering be a goat. A goat. You see all the kinds of things that they were brought. If his offerings be a goat. Now, the goat symbolizes the bearing of God's judgment. And the scripture said one goat's going this way, the other goes in the other way, and so on. It's the bearing of God's judgment. Symbol of the Christ on the cross. The bearing of the judgment of God. You know what I speak that offering? I speak of the purity. Our peace with God is in purity. It's nothing that you and I fix to get into the kingdom of God. I was telling the Boy Scouts yesterday as we studied the flag. I said, there is a flag in the Bible. And that flag was a brass serpent in the book of Numbers. But the brass serpent is not the Christian flag. That brass serpent represent what? Christ Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And my friend, the purity of our life, we need to lift up Jesus in our life, not only with our lips. That's easy to do. We need to lift up Jesus in our life with our purity of life. There will be no goats in our life. No thing that God has to judge. Now listen, how blessed we are. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says that we are going to heaven because Christ took the wrath of God upon himself. In Galatians chapter 3 in verse 13, look what the Bible said. Christ have redeemed us, brought us back to God from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses every man that hang on the tree. You know what that text means? Means simply this, that the law that God wrote said, if you sin, you are guilty. And we have sinned in Adam. Even if you have not done anything, your heart already has been damaged in Adam. And then somebody without sin has to come and die for you, because God cursed the whole earth. And Christ took the curse upon himself. So those who believe in him, they are no longer under the curse. Go with me to Hebrews. Oh, again, chapter 2 in verse 9. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You see, Christ bought our purity. And so now the sacrifice of the goat symbolized without any mistake, symbolized that Christ Jesus has done a remarkable thing, has given us the ability to be pure before God. Wow. The peace offering, growing with the Lord. The way to become acceptable to God. How? By growing in fellowship with him. Do you know this verse 17? Verse 17 said, it shall be a perpetual status. It's permanent. It's permanent. It's not just something temporary. I don't mean the bringing of the goats and the animals. These change because those things were in a spiritual picture. But the peace offering is permanent. Now we need to be in that way. We cannot remain indifferent. We have to grow in our gospel. We have to grow in our life. It is not so much growing and knowing all the doctrines of the Bible. It is not that God really wants to begin with. What God wants us is to grow in our service for him. Are you serving God? Or just sitting in the pew coming Sunday after Sunday? Hey, we need to grow. We need to serve the Lord. Talk to me. Talk to one of the deacons. If you have a burden, something to do. Are you submitting to God? Are you growing in that? Sometimes people said, why I have this sickness? Never say that. We do it, but don't say it. Why I have this sickness? Rather than saying, Lord, what do you teach me through this sickness? What do you want me to know about this sickness? About myself? Companionship. I know that very difficult moments of life make us to feel alone. Sometimes, like the husband doesn't care, or the wife doesn't care, or the children do not love us. But there is one who never leaves you. It's Jesus. Let's grow in that. Experience that. Ladies and gentlemen, what we all need is purity. Purity in our head. Purity in our heart. Purity in our life. That we be the Christian people, be men and women of integrity. 100% integrity. Then the world will know that Christ is real in our life. Thank you, Father, for the lesson today. Thank you for the challenge, the peace offering. Yes, we have peace through Jesus. But now, O God, help us to grow. Help us to be people who are willing to serve, willing to submit, rejoicing in the companionship with you, and then cause us to walk pure before man, that they may see Jesus in us. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, I have peace with God, my Savior, and the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Will you stand, please, as we close the morning service? I hope this has been a challenge for your heart. That during this week you meditate about your service to the Lord, your dedication. Service to the Lord involve the wholesome of life and involve your family. Your family. My dream is not only to get those 3,000 people in this church. I don't know how we're going to put it, but 3,000 will be there. But that you will grow to a point that you have a peace with God. No perfection with God. We're never going to accomplish that. We have to face that. But a peace with God. That you're a Christian. You got a church that satisfied your heart. And as you walk in life like that, can you imagine? You will shine. You're going to shine. A life was satisfied. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. He satisfied the longings of our heart. Thank you for Jesus. He covered us with his love and his tenderness. And Father, we look ahead. The day when together as a body of believers, we walk in peace with you and in peace with one another, serving you with a committed life and a heart of integrity. In Jesus, we pray and thank you for that dream. Amen.